Amen. All right, well, we're there in Hebrews chapter number 12. And like I announced, I am preaching tonight on the subject of angels. And the title of the sermon is The Truth About Angels. And maybe a subtitle or a secondary title you could give the sermon is Understanding Angels in the Bible. And if you look down there in Hebrews chapter number 12, and look down at verse number 22, the Bible says, "But ye are come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." And of course, this has to do with us being in heaven, and this is referring to future things. "And to an innumerable company of angels, and then notice, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." So I want you to notice that the Bible references there the fact that one day we're going to be in heaven up in Mount Sion, and we're going to be up there, the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, but we're going to be up there with an innumerable company of angels. And the Bible teaches about angels and this concept of angels, and it's something that's worth us learning about and studying about because of the fact that whether we realize it or not, we're actually being ministered to, and we're coming in contact with angels now, and also in the future, up in heaven, we're going to be dealing with angels and an innumerable number of angels. And the book of Hebrews talks a lot about the subject of angels. Look over at Hebrews chapter number 1, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 1, and look down at verse number 4. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse 4. Notice what the Bible says, "being made so much better than the angels." And this is, of course, talking about Jesus, that he was made better than the angels, "as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Now, let me just start off, just by way of introduction, explaining the meaning of the word angel. The word angel means messenger. That's what the word means. If you look at the underlying Greek word that in our King James Bible is translated as angel, that same Greek word is translated as messenger. So throughout the Bible, you read about angels, and they're called angels because they're serving as messengers. Now, the reason that I bring that up is because in the Bible, there are two types of angels. There are angels that are human, and there are angels that are not human beings. Now, you don't have to turn here. I'll just read this for you, and you keep your place there in Hebrews, and I'll read to you out of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Revelation 2, 1, the Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." And we've been studying the churches of Asia on Sunday mornings, and we're familiar with this concept where when you look at those churches, those seven churches, you'll often find an introduction like the one I read, "unto the angel of the church of Ephesus," or "unto the angel of the church in Smyrna," or "Pergamos," or "Thyatira." And there, that word angel is actually referring to the pastor, because he's the messenger that's being spoken to and being given a message for the church. So in the Bible, sometimes you find the word angel, and you'll find that it is a reference to a human being. However, many times in the Bible, the word angel is in reference to someone that's not a human being. Now, are you there in Hebrews 1? Look down at verse number 5. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Notice what the writer of Hebrews says about angels. He says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?" Now, he's asking a rhetorical question, and he's saying, look, there is no angel that God ever looked down at and said, this is my son. And the Bible talks about the fact that angels are never referred to as sons. And I don't have time to cover that tonight. We're going to cover that in a different sermon at a different time. But I want you to understand that no angel, and today there is a doctrine of dispensationalism that teaches that the angels are the sons of God. And again, I can't go into that tonight, but that is a false teaching and a false doctrine. But these angels, here we're told, hey, God's never called an angel a son. He said, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?" And he's saying, I've never called an angel a son. So we see there that there are some angels that are not human beings, because in the Bible you'll see a human being that's referred to as an angel, as a messenger, and that's a son of God, that's a believer. There are these non-human angels, what we generally would think about as an angel or an angelic being. And in the Bible, they're called cherubims and they're called seraphims. Now, go with me to the book of Ezekiel, if you would. Ezekiel chapter number 1. And in Ezekiel chapter number 1, if you find the major prophets, they're all towards the end of the Old Testament. You have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 1. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, we have Ezekiel the prophet having a vision of these cherubims. Now, he doesn't call them cherubims in chapter 1, but he does identify them as cherubims in chapter 9 and in chapter 10. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I want to try to get through this quickly and then get into some things about angels. But I want you to notice that these angels being described here, these cherubims are angels, also seraphims are angels. And by the description, you can tell they're not human beings. So let's just look at it real quickly. Ezekiel chapter 1, look at verse number 4. The Bible says this, "And I looked and behold a whirlwind," that's like a tornado, "come out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it," meaning brightness was around it, "and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness," notice, "of four living creatures, and this was their appearance." And so he says, look, I saw this vision, I saw these four living creatures, and then he says, this was their appearance. He's about to describe their appearance to us. So notice, number one, he says, they have the likeness of a man. Now, I believe that this is a reference to the fact that if you would look at them, they would look like a person, meaning they had a torso and they had a head and they had two arms and two legs. He's looking at their body and he's saying they look like, they have the likeness of a man. But there are some major differences between these living creatures and a man. Notice the fact that they had four faces. Look at verse 6. "And every one had four faces." All right. Now, those four faces are described in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 10, look down at verse 10 and notice what it says. "As for the likeness of their faces, they four had," and he's going to give us the four faces. Number one, the face of a man. And number two, the face of a lion. And on the right side, and they had, number three, the face of an ox. On the left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. So he tells us they have a head with four faces, and then look back at verse number 6 there. "They also had four wings," Ezekiel 1 and verse 6, "and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings." Now notice their wings are described in verse number 23, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 23. "And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their body." So notice, described that they have these four wings, they have these four faces, they have a body that looks like the likeness of a man, meaning they have a torso and they have arms and legs and a head. And then we're told that they have these wings. Now in Revelation chapter 8, and you don't have to turn there, I'll just read this for you. We're told of angels that are flying. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven." In Revelation 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven." So we see that these angels obviously have wings because they're flying. They have these four wings and they're flying through the air. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 7, it describes their feet. And it describes their feet as having straight feet. Ezekiel 1 and verse 7, "And their feet were straight feet." Now what does that mean? I believe that's a reference to the fact that their feet were not an L shape like that of us. If you were to look at my feet, you would describe it as an L. My leg and my foot as an L is the way that we have it as human beings. But these creatures, they're described, notice there in verse 7, "and their feet were straight feet." So there's not this leg and then a foot coming out. It's just straight. Notice what it says there in verse 7, "and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot," meaning they have like a hoof, it's just straight. And then notice they are also bright creatures. Notice there in verse 7, "and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass," or polished brass. They also were told that they have hands like a man. Look at verse number 8, "and they had the hands of a man," and we are told that they had their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. We're also told by Ezekiel that they don't move like normal humans move. Look down at verse number 12. And they went, everyone straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. They went and they turned not when they went. So just like you and I, if I'm going to go to my right, I'll turn to the right and start walking that direction. If I'm going to go to my left, I'll turn to the left and start walking that direction. These creatures, they don't turn. They just move, you know, in whatever direction they want. And the reason, you know, I think the reason for that is because of the fact they have four faces. They're always facing forward. No matter which way they want to go, they can just start moving in that direction. Notice in verse 15, it is described the fact that they have wheels. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Now, we can look at other passages about the wheels, and it gets complicated, but we're told that they have wheels. And obviously, I've never seen this creature. You haven't seen this creature. It's hard for us to understand what all this looks like. But this is a description, and here's what we can take away from the description. This is not a human being. This is a creature which is an angelic beast, an angelic creature. It's called a cherubim, and this is what the Bible calls an angel. Now, there's another creature that's called a seraphim, and I'll show that to you quickly. Go to Isaiah chapter number 6, if you would. If you're there in the book of Ezekiel, you just want to head backwards in the book of Ezekiel, and you're going to go past the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah, into the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, and look at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings." So the seraphims are very similar to the cherubims, except they have six wings. These are the beasts that are also described in the book of Revelation. They're standing before the throne of God. Notice what it says here in Isaiah. "And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. The twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So all of that is introduction. I just want to introduce the fact that in the Bible, you have angels. Some of them are human beings. They're just messengers. Like we saw in the book of Revelation, they're just pastors. They're referred to as angels. And you know, the pastors are obviously saved. They're the sons of God. But then you have other angels that God said, "I never called them sons." And they're not human beings. They're creatures. They're the cherubims. They're the seraphims. These are angelic beings. So for the rest of the sermon, just for the purpose of clarity, when I refer to an angel or an angelic being, that's what I'm referring to. I'm not talking about the angels that are humans. I'm talking about the spiritual angelic beings that God has created. And what I want to do is I want to give you three characteristics or aspects of these angels that the Bible teaches us that you need to understand. So all of that was introduction. I tried to go through that Ezekiel passage quickly because I wanted you to see the cherubims, but I don't want to spend too much time on that. I want to give you these characteristics about the angels. And if you are able to take notes, I'd encourage you to take notes, of course. Maybe grab a piece of paper and you can write these things down. When it comes to angels, what is it that you need to know about the angels? What is it the Bible teaches about the angels? Well, number one, angelic beings are spiritual beings. I'm not sure if you kept your place in the book of Hebrews, but if you could go back to Hebrews chapter number 1. The Bible teaches that angels, or these angelic beings, they are spiritual beings. They are spirit beings. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse number 6. "And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith," now notice what God says about the angels, "who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." So notice, the Bible says that God makes the angels spirits. So when we're talking about angels, we're not talking about a physical being like you and I are, like the animals of this world are. We're talking about a being that is a spiritual being. Look down at verse number 13 in the same chapter there, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Notice verse 14, "And they," the angels, notice what he says, "are they," the angels, "not all ministering spirits?" So he's asking this rhetorical question. He's saying, look, aren't they all ministering spirits? But I want you to notice the Bible calls them spirits because angels are spiritual beings. Their bodies have spiritual bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about spiritual bodies versus earthly bodies. And an angel is a spirit being, not a human being. When we're talking about the angelic creature, it is a spirit being, and it lives in the spirit world. Now, I want you to keep your place there in Hebrews, because we're going to come back to the book of Hebrews throughout the sermon tonight. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 1. And if you're there in Hebrews, you're just going to head backwards through Philemon, Titus, 2nd and 1st Timothy, 2nd and 1st Thessalonians, Colossians, Hebrews, Philemon, Titus, 2nd and 1st Timothy, 2nd and 1st Thessalonians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. And I want you to look at verse number 16. And here's what you need to understand. There is one world and with different aspects. There is the physical world that you and I live in and what we see and what we touch and what we feel. And then at the same time, there is a spirit world which is unseen. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 16. For by him were all things created. And this is, of course, talking about Jesus, that are in heaven, that are in earth. Notice what it says, visible and invisible. So when God created the heavens and the earth, there were, in that creation, there were some things that were visible. That's what you and I see. But there's also, that's the physical world. But then there's also a spirit world, which is invisible. He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So I want you to notice that there is a spirit world. There's an invisible world that is unseen, and we call that the spirit world. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 6. I'll show you an example of this in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you find the 1 and 2 books, they're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. 2 Kings chapter number 6, and look at verse number 15. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. Now, in the story, we have Elisha, who has the enemies of God coming to try to destroy him. 2 Kings 6, look at verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, so this is the servant of Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. So that's talking about the fact that a military army came to where Elisha and his servant were, and they compassed the city. They surrounded the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" So the servant, of course, asked the question anybody would ask. If you wake up in the morning and you're surrounded by a huge military, he's like, "What are we going to do?" Notice verse 16. And he answered, "Fear not." This is Elisha. He says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And I'm sure this servant was thinking to himself, there's two of us, there's an entire military surrounding us. What are you talking about, Elisha? Notice verse number 17. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Now, Elisha prayed this prayer, "Open his eyes that he may see," because of the fact that there is a physical world, which is visible, and there is a spiritual world, which is invisible. Notice verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, notice, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. So notice, these are angels. These are angelic beings. They're not horses and chariots of the physical world. They're horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So when this military came and surrounded Elisha and his servant, there was also spiritually there angels with horses and chariots of fire that were there as well, because of the fact, and this shows you that there is a spirit world which is unseen, there is a physical world which is seen, and angels live in that spirit world. They are invisible, we don't see them. Now, I do believe that God, and I don't understand how all of this works, and I'm not going to pretend that I do, but God does allow them to go from the spirit world into the physical world, and they are able to be part of this world and be seen from time to time, and how that works, we don't understand, but they are spiritual beings. So when it comes to angels, what is it that you need to know about angels? Angels or angelic beings are spiritual beings. They are spirit beings, and they live in the spirit world. The second thing I'd like you to know about angels is not only that angelic beings are spiritual beings, but also that angelic beings are supernatural beings. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 2. And if you kept your place in Hebrews, and I'd encourage you to keep your place in Hebrews because we're going to come back to it. From the book of Hebrews, you can go past James into 1 and 2 Peter. From Hebrews, go to James and then 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And look at verse number 11. I want you to notice that they're not only spiritual beings, but they're also what I would call supernatural beings, meaning that this physical world has natural limits to it, and these angelic beings, they don't have those natural limits. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 11. Notice what the Bible says. Whereas angels, which are greater, now they're greater than who? Than humans. In what way? Notice, which are greater in power and might. So he says, look, angels are greater in power and might than human beings are. And he says, they bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. And he's using that as an example. But in that verse, we see there that angels are greater in power and might than we as human beings. So what exactly does that mean? Well, the Bible actually tells us where they are greater in their limits of their power and their might. Continue to keep your place there in Hebrews, but go with me to the book of Psalms, right in the center of the Bible. You'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, and look at verse number 20. Psalm 103, and look at verse number 20. When we're talking about angelic beings being supernatural beings, how are they supernatural beings? Well, first of all, they have supernatural strength. They have supernatural strength. Look at Psalm 103 and verse number 20. Psalm 103 and verse 20, the Bible says this, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels." So the angels are being commanded to bless the Lord, but then we're going to get a description of the angels. Notice what he says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels," notice, "that excel in strength." So these angels are described as those who excel in strength. What the Bible is telling us is that they have supernatural strength. They have more strength than what you and I would consider normal or natural, because they're not only spiritual beings, they're also supernatural beings, and they're supernatural in their strength. Now go to the book of Ezekiel if you would, Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm not sure if I asked you to keep your place there in Ezekiel, but go back to Ezekiel and let me show you another way that they are supernatural. Now if you remember in Ezekiel at the beginning of the sermon, we looked at the description, right, of these cherubims. They've got four faces, they've got four wings, they have arms like normal, like the hands of a man is what it says. And they have legs that go down, but they don't look like human legs. They look like hoofs of a calf. And you've got this beast that looks like that. And then, of course, we were told that they move in a direction that is not a normal way of moving that we would consider. They're able to just, they never turn. They just move in whatever way they're going to go. Notice what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 14. And the living creatures, notice, ran and returned. And the living creatures ran and returned, notice, as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So here Ezekiel is telling us that he was watching these living creatures and they were running. And he says they ran somewhere and they were returning. But when they ran and when they returned, he said it was like a flash of lightning. Meaning it happened quickly, just like when lightning strikes, it happens fast. So here the Bible is telling us that they not only have Psalm 103, verse 20, they excel in strength, they have supernatural strength. Here we're told they have supernatural speed. So these angels are supernatural beings in the sense that they have supernatural strength, they have supernatural speed. And you know, when you say that in our world, you think, oh man, are you trying to like describe like a superhero? But you know what I have found is that Satan always wants to take things that God created and mock them and turn them. You know, today you'll have kids being taught about these superheroes that run faster than normal people and are stronger than normal people and they fly. But you know what? In the Bible, God created these cherubims and they are stronger than normal people. They excel in strength and they do run faster than normal people. They run like the flash of a lightning and they do fly. You know, we need to realize that what we should be teaching our children is just what the Bible says. teaching our kids what the Bible teaches. And maybe if we actually studied these things and taught them to our kids, they would be interested in the Word of God. So these angels are not only spiritual beings, they are spirits and they live in the spirit world. These angels are also supernatural beings. They are supernatural in strength and they are supernatural in their speed. I'd like to give you a third characteristic of these angels that you should know. Make your way back to Hebrews chapter 1, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 1. I said number 1 tonight, angelic beings are spiritual beings. I said number 2, angelic beings are supernatural beings. Thirdly tonight, I'd like you to know that angelic beings are also serving beings. They are servants. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 1? Look at verse number 7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, we already talked about that, notice what he says, and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, if you remember from the story of Elisha, remember when he opened up the eyes of the servant, he saw the horses and the chariots aflame. So that's another way that these angels or these angelic beings are described. Here we're told that they're ministers a flame. He says, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But I want you to notice that the Bible not only calls them spirits, the Bible also calls them ministers. And the word minister means servant. A ministry is that which is when we are serving others. Sometimes pastors are called ministers. Why? Because we're supposed to be serving other people. But here, these angels, they're called ministers of a flame of fire. Look down at verse number 13 of Hebrews chapter 1 as well. Hebrews chapter 1 and look at verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. But to which of the angels said he at any time? We already read this, but I want you to see it again. Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool. Are they not all, notice the word, ministering spirits? So not only are they spirits, but they are ministering spirits. They are serving spirits. So these are spirits that were created to serve. Now you might be asking yourself, well, who are they supposed to be serving? Notice what it says, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now who's that referring to? That's referring to us. So those of us that are saved, you know, the Bible teaches that they, the angels, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The Bible teaches that these are not only spiritual beings, the Bible teaches that these are not only supernatural beings, but the Bible also teaches that these are serving beings. They were created to serve, they were created to minister, and they primarily minister to those who are the heirs of salvation, to those who are saved, to those who are born again, to those who are the sons of God. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, how exactly do they serve the children of God or born-again people or saved people? Go to the book of Psalms, if you would, Psalm 34. Now, you can go ahead and lose your place in Ezekiel and keep your place in Hebrews because we're going to come back to Hebrews here in a minute. But also keep your place in Psalms because we're going to leave it and we're going to come right back to it, all right? Psalm 34. If you just open up right in the center of the Bible, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. And the Bible gives us two ways that these angels serve. And I'm not saying that these are the only two ways. I'm sure they serve in a huge capacity. I'm sure they do whatever God wants them to do. So I'm not saying these are the only ways that they serve. But there are two ways that are highlighted in the Bible as to how it is that these angels serve. Notice there in Psalm 34 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, the angel of the Lord, notice, encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, doesn't that kind of remind you of the story of Elisha, right? He was compassed about with the enemies in their horses and their chariots, but he was able to look into the spirit world. He prayed that God would allow his servant to see the spirit world. And then he saw an even bigger company of horses and chariots of fire that were compassed around him. Well, in Psalm 34 and verse 7, we're told, hey, the angel Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And why are they there? And delivereth them. So I want you to notice that these angels are serving beings. They are ministering servants. How do they serve? Well, in the first capacity is they serve as guardians. They serve as guardians. Go to Matthew chapter number 18. Keep your place there in Psalms. We're going to come back to it. Matthew chapter number 18. Now look, the concept of guardian angels is a real concept. The Bible actually teaches this concept that there are angels that are sent to guard those who fear the Lord. And they are there to deliver them. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 10. First book of the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. Matthew 18, 10. Take heed that ye despise not. Now notice, this is Jesus speaking. And these words are in red. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, they're in red because Jesus is actually saying these words. And he says this, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Now he's talking about little children. He's saying, make sure you don't despise little children. Notice what he says. For I say unto you that in heaven, notice what it says, their angels. See that word their, T-H-E-I-R, that's possessive. It's not just an angel, a angel, it's their angel, the Bible says, do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. In this verse, we see that Jesus says, hey, all these little children you see, all these little kids, they have angels assigned to them. It's their angels, and their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. And Jesus says that in the context of, so make sure you're not despising one of these little ones. So notice that that God has these angels, these beings that are meant to serve, these serving beings. How do they serve? Well, one way is as guardians. They are guarding, they are encamped round about them that fear him and deliver them. Jesus says that they are in heaven, that their angels do always behold the face of my Father. So we have a way here that they serve, which is as guardians. But there's another way that they serve. Go back to Psalms, if you would. Psalm 18. If you can make your way back to Psalm 18 and look at verse number 9. We're seeing that these angelic beings are serving beings. They're ministering spirits. And we see that they serve as guardians. They are protecting and delivering those that fear the Lord. But I want you to notice that they also serve as transportation. They serve in a capacity of transportation. Psalm 18, look at verse number 9. Psalm 18 and verse 9. He bowed the heavens also. He came down and darkness was under his feet. That's talking about the Lord, God. Notice verse 10. And he, talking about God, rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. So here we have a reference. And by the way, this is one of multiple references in the Bible where we're told that God rides a cherub and he's flying through the air, writing that he rode upon a cherub and did fly, is what the Bible says. So we see that God uses this animal, this creature, as like we would think of like a horse in order to ride upon. And again, the world, you know, Greek mythology has their Pegasus or whatever, you know. You have these beasts with wings or whatever. The devil obviously always takes what God actually has and tries to make it his own. But look, here we're told that these creatures with these wings that they're being written upon, that God wrote upon a cherub and did fly. You're there in Psalm 18, go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, look at verse number 17. Psalm 68 and verse number 17. Psalm 68 and verse 17, notice what the Bible says. The chariots of God, the chariots of God are 20,000. So here we're told that God has chariots, but notice, you see this word even? This is telling us who these chariots are. Even thousands of angels, the Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. So here we're told that God has chariots, the chariots of God, but then he refers to them as the angels. He says, even thousands of angels. Now here's what's interesting. And we don't understand how this works, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know how it all works. But we read in Ezekiel chapter 1, and we can also read about it in 9 and 10, that these cherubs have wheels. Now, how those wheels work and how all of that it plays out, we're not sure. But here, we're told that God has chariots, and I think these chariots are referring to the cherubims. The cherubims are the chariots of God. We already read a verse in Psalm 18 where we saw God riding upon a cherub. And then we know they have wheels. They're called the chariots of God, or 20,000, even thousands of angels. So we see that these angelic beings, they have a purpose of serving. One is as guardians, but then there's another purpose for transportation. Let me show this to you even further. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24, the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24. Now in Matthew 24, we have the famous Olivet Discourse, and Jesus is preaching about end times and about end times prophecy. And notice what he says in Matthew 24 and verse 31 about the rapture. Matthew 24 and verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Notice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So here we're told that when God has the rapture, when the rapture happens and God actually brings out and gathers together all believers, he's actually going to send his angels and they're going to gather together the elect. This is not the only time that we're told something like this in the Bible. Go to the book of Luke, if you would. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. And look at verse number 22. Luke 16, 22. Here Jesus is telling us a story of a man that died. Some people try to say that this is a parable, and I don't believe it's a parable. There's reasons for that. But I want you to notice what Jesus says, Luke 16 and verse 22. He says, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and notice what it says, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So here we're told that someone who was saved died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which is a body part, not a location. He was literally carried to Abraham, who's in heaven, all right? And there's a lot of dispensations like to take this verse and twist it and make all sorts of things about it. But I want you to notice that when a believer dies, when they go to heaven, they're carried by the angels, is what Jesus said, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. At the rapture, the Bible says that he shall send his angels, and they shall gather together his elect. In Psalm 68, we're told that God has chariots, even thousands of angels. Ezekiel tells us these cherubims have wheels. Psalm 18 tells us that God actually rode upon a cherub. So when you look at all these verses, you put them together, you see that these really are serving, they are servants. They are serving beings, and they serve primarily as guardians. Yes, guardian angels are real. These little ones have their angels that do always behold the face of my Father, Jesus said. And they are encamped round about them that fear him, and they deliver him. And they also serve in a transportation capacity. At the rapture, the angels are going to gather us up. And when a believer dies, they are carried by the angels into heaven. Go to the book of Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 2. If you kept your place in Hebrews, you're just going to head backwards. You're going to go past Philemon, Titus, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2. And tonight we've been learning about angels and talking about angels. And of course, we started by talking about the meaning of the word angel. The word angel means messenger. And we need to understand that because of the fact that in the Bible, there are two types of angels. There are human angels, which are just human beings that are messengers. So they're being referred to as angels because that's what the word means. But then there are also these non-human angels that are angelic beings. They are these creatures that the Bible talks about, and they're not humans. And what we learned about these angels is that these angelic beings are spiritual beings. They are a spirit being. They're not a human being. They're a spirit, and they live primarily in the spirit world, which is the unseen world. We also learn that these angels are supernatural beings, and specifically that they have supernatural strength and they have supernatural speed, is what we saw in the Word of God. And then thirdly, we saw that these angels are serving beings. They serve, and I'm sure they do many other things that maybe the Bible doesn't mention, but the two that I saw and that we learned about tonight was that they serve in a guarding capacity, where they are actually guarding those that fear the Lord and delivering them. And they also serve in a transportation capacity where they're transporting people at the rapture, people who've died. They're transporting God and they're serving as chariots and things like that. So just in conclusion, I want to give you just kind of two thoughts about these angels and how we what do we do with this information? How does this apply to us and what should we know about it? Well, first of all, we need to realize that as Bible-believing Christians, we should not worship angels. And today there's a lot of angel worship that happens in a lot of false religions. And you can walk into false churches like Catholic churches and you're going to find a lot of statues of angels and you're going to find a lot of those type of things. And obviously God does not want us to ever look at angels. Look, the Bible says that God, Jesus was created, that the angels are that he's better than the angels. So we shouldn't be worshiping the angels, we should be worshiping God. Are you there in Colossians 2? Look at verse 18. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says this, "Let no man beguile you." It's really interesting we see that word beguiled, because that word beguile is associated with Satan. And Satan, of course, is a fallen angel, and we'll talk about that in another sermon. Colossians 2:18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility," notice, "and worshiping of angels." So the Bible tells us, look, we should not fall, we should not be tricked, we should not be beguiled into this idea of worshiping the angels, because they're lower than Jesus, okay? We should be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus, our fear, our awe should be directed at the Lord. So obviously the Bible talks a lot about angels, and we learned tonight several interesting things about angels, but we need to realize that these angels, they're in a certain category, and we should not put them higher than that category. We should not worship angels. But with that said, go to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13, and look at verse number 2. With that said, let me say this about angels. We should be comforted by the fact that there are angels. And whether you and I realize it or not, they are among us. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, there's a very interesting verse. I'd like to finish with this. Hebrews 13 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." And here, you know, the Bible is talking about the fact that we need to make sure that we're being nice to people, that we're being hospitable with strangers. There is someone that we don't know. He says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." He says, "For thereby some have entertained angels unawares." The Bible says that you may have came across an angel and not known it was an angel that was crossing your path. Look, it might have been your guardian angel that was crossing your path, you know, coming out to help you or save you or keep somebody from mugging you or whatever, and then you were rude to them. So here the writers of Hebrews, he says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." And, you know, sometimes we as Baptists, you know, we can get kind of filled with pride, and sometimes we tend to look down on people, especially homeless people. And I'm not defending homeless people. Obviously, the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, and all those things. But we need to just be careful when we're out and about, just making sure that we're not being forgetful to entertain strangers. And sometimes, you know, I look at homeless people and I'm like, oh man, is this, you know, I don't want to be rude to an angel, you know. And then I see they have long hair or something. I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's an angel, maybe not. I'm not sure how all that works. You know, and sometimes you look at somebody or they're smoking. And I'm like, well, that's definitely not an angel, you know, or they're drinking. You know, it's like, okay, well, that was not an angel. But, you know, here he's saying, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." He says, "For thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So, you know, we should be comforted by the fact. We should be comforted by the fact that there are angels among us. And today, you know, there's lots of people living in fear, right, with this coronavirus stuff. And there's a pandemic and an epidemic. And honestly, the panic is worse, in my opinion, than the sickness. You know, there's more people just living in fear. And look, obviously, we should take precautions. And I think it's smart to do things like maybe not holding big gatherings during times when you're trying to get a sickness to be contained or a plague to be contained. I understand we should wash our hands, all those things. But look, at the end of the day, you need to realize if you love the Lord, if you're saved, if you fear God, hey, God has ordained some angels to help you, to guard you, and they're there to protect you. Look, God loves you and God's going to take care of you. Now again, we should not tempt the Lord, right? Remember, Jesus was tempted to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple because the angels were going to catch him. Look, that doesn't mean because you have guardian angels, you're just going to let your kids play on the highway or whatever. Obviously, we need to be smart about these things. But we should realize that God's in control. Amen. And like Elisha, when you're sitting there and you're surrounded by the enemies of this world and they want to stop you and they want to kill you and they want to destroy you, hey, we should just pray like Elisha and not physically, but just pray, Lord, help us to have spiritual eyes to realize that you have these angels, these angelic beings, these angelic creatures, and they're spiritual creatures. And they live in the spirit world. We can't see them, but they're supernatural beings. And they're strong and they're fast. And you've sent them to guard us and to minister to us and to protect us. And look, we should just remember that God always has angels around us. And whether we realize it or not, we cross paths with them, we rub shoulders with them, and we need to be careful to be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to study the subject tonight about angels. And obviously anytime we can open up the Bible and study the Bible, it's good to learn and to study the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to just be able to learn these interesting things, teach them to our children, but also take comfort in the fact that you have these angels out there helping us, protecting us. And Lord, honestly, we just need to be worried about serving you, doing right, fearing you, and you can take care of the protection and the safety. You have angels around us to do those things, Lord. And you allow things into our lives, and if they come into our lives, if sickness or disease or hurt comes in our lives, because you allowed it, and you know of it, and Lord, help us to always be comforted with those things. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray, amen. All right, well, I just want